reconvene our 2026 budget hearing, and we'll start today with our court systems. And I believe on our on my list, I have circuit court first. So,
you want to go first?
Oh, do you need to go first, Judge Hunter?
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, I can.
Okay, circuit court.
Circuit court.
Tab four.
Yes.
Pretty much a completely flat budget proposal from the year prior. The only thing was for the staff, what the numbers that you see on the 26 proposal include a 3% raise is what we factored in there. And I did that for the three court reporters and the interpreter. I did not increase the overtime. I just left it the same, even though obviously we'll pay a higher rate. That just stayed where it has been. And then everything else was flat from the year prior.
Okay.
Yes.
Brad, can we have you go to the mic, please?
Oh,
oh sure. Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot.
Oh, yeah, we're on.
Yeah, we're on TV.
I'll
look
at my lights.
All right. So, yeah, everything is, other than the staff with the 3% proposed raise, everything else was the same as what we had in last year's budget.
Yeah. I heard you and Judge Hunter talking about your respective pauper attorney lines, and that's usually a big one for us. And and I guess maybe just talk about how that's going, and you have it flat year over year. And
right. Our pauper rate is a set rate from the state since we're part of the public defender reimbursement program. So as of last year, that had increased from 100 to 110. Mm-hmm. So we had an increase in last year's budget to accommodate for that increase. So we went from 165 to 200 each. So I think both of us kept it flat at 200,000 this year. We've not been told that there's any rate increase from the state that we'll be required to follow, so it should stay at the 110 per hour for our pauper attorneys. And then both of us, I think, are pretty aggressive towards the end of the year trying to move whatever money is left over in any other categories into pauper. And then once we get through all of that, we move to whatever we have accumulated in the money that we've received back from the Public Defender Commission. That is in a separate budget item, or it's not in this budget, it's in a separate category, and we go through our budget money first, and then we go to that pauper reimbursement money that sits there and carries over from year to year. So neither of us have gone to that money yet. We both are probably a couple months, hopefully, still that we can pay out of what we've got, and then we'll start looking at our other sources.
Okay.
Brad, I have a question.
Yes.
On the preserve and wraparound,
yes,
you have roughly, I'm just going to use a round number, of 21,000 in there for this year, and nothing has been spent, but you increased it to 30,000. What is that one?
No, it started at 30. That's what it always starts at. We did spend, what we do basically on January 1, we transfer whatever grant money I get for CASA. It is a matching requirement.
Oh, okay.
And so we take that grant amount, it comes that same amount to match comes out of preserve and wraparound and helps fund our CASA budget. So you'll see pretty much January 1, January 2, we will transfer that amount into CASA to pay for our CASA director.
Okay.
What is left then, and I can't remember because our grant changes every year, but what is left in that line towards the end of the year, I contact probation and community corrections. The money is designed to be used for juvenile cases. And so from time to time, we may have some juveniles that because of financial issues with the parents, if we need a evaluation or we need some assistance within the family, I can use it discretionary there. What we typically see at the end of the year, usually about December the 1st, I'll contact probation and community corrections. I'll have them give me a list of any cases they've had with juveniles that they didn't pay all their fees in full, and I help make up that difference for probation and community corrections.
Oh, okay.
So usually at the end of the year, you'll see somewhere between $5,000 to $7,000 each to probation and community corrections to help reimburse for the fees that the juveniles did not pay.
Okay.
But that doesn't happen till the end to see if I've used it anywhere else, but that's usually by December 1st. We'll start with that.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Good question, John.
And it looks like you zeroed out your part-time interpreter.
Shouldn't have. You mean for this year?
No, for 26. Maybe it's someplace else, but on our
Yeah, the 26 budget for my interpreter would be $26,523.
Okay, that's listed as wraparound part-time employee on our budget.
Okay, that may be listed. Yeah, it looks like they've got those things flipped.
Yep, let's move that up.
Those numbers are flipped.
So they need to be swapped, okay.
The interpreter is the $26,523.
That's what I, that's what I thought.
A couple of years ago, we were paying that from a number of different offices. We decided it'd be easier to get it all in one.
Right.
And so all of hers comes out of that part of the budget that we manage now.
Figured there was something wrong there, but I wasn't sure what. Thank you.
We will get that next.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's flip the page and we'll look real quickly at that CASA budget.
Again, CASA is funded half with the matching money that we use out of the preserve and wraparound, half through a grant. No changes on CASA other than same thing, we factored in a 3% raise for staff. With that, Deanne Hunter had been our director. She has a number of cases she continues to oversee, and she's continued helping with the transition with Nancy Ward as our new director. So there are, I am still paying her for part of it since she's got a fairly heavy caseload. As her cases finish, she'll be just considered a volunteer. But since she does still have a number of cases, I'm paying her in addition to our new director, Nancy Ward.
And I, as a CASA, I do appreciate that there's a mileage component when our cases take us to Indianapolis and other places, so it's that's very much appreciated.
And for those that aren't familiar, I mean, if kids are placed in foster care or outside the county, we don't have enough foster parents within county always to take the kids, and so that requires sometimes visits outside, and so we do pay mileage for that. Okay. Everything else from the volunteers is their time and effort.
That's right.
How many CASA volunteers are there?
We're a little low. We're going through kind of a
we have 10 or 12?
Period. Yeah, we're probably at 10 or 12. I do have right now three attorneys that I still use as guardian ad litems. We're in the process of kind of getting a new start with some, getting interest with some new CASAs, and we'll get them going through the training program also.
And many CASAs only have one case, and so it. I have two at the moment, but most CASAs just have one case. Deanne has a million.
Not working?
New batteries?
Check one, too.
Okay.
Could you repeat all that?
Let's start over again.
All these
from the top things.
Okay. Any other questions about the circuit court budget before we swap judges? Okay.
No.
Thank you, Judge Moeller. If you'll move to tab 22, that is the Superior Court budget. And Judge Hunter.
Good morning, counsel. Justin Hunter, Superior Court. Today, reviewing a budget that's been presented with very modest increase over
Thank you.
Oh, maybe it's me.
Yep.
Sorry.
Yep. We're good.
Okay. I didn't feel like I was done.
I did it. My book did it. Sorry.
I just want to say at the outset, and I don't think I've expressed this before, I wanted to thank the council for, in the past year, investing in the human resources of the Superior Court. For years, I'd asked for some increases. I know it wasn't possible. I know you wanted to deliver. But you did deliver last year, and I appreciate that you've made it possible for us to keep the resources that we have, because it's invaluable to teach them and keep them on board. So I think that was a wise choice from your standpoint. Looking ahead at the upcoming budget as presented, I tried to keep in parity with Judge Moeller. We talked ahead of time, made sure that our personal services requests were identical in terms of raises. We wanted to keep in parity on the pauper defense fee request. Sometimes our demands are different among attorneys because we handle different types of cases, but most of the time we're able to, when there's differences, take other portions of the budget that we haven't spent on and readjust when necessary. And So you're not going to see a large difference over the prior year request. I'm willing to entertain questions at your request.
had a question, the same thing for your interpreter. Your interpreter is zero, and then there's a new line that says Superior Court Witness slash Interpreter. Is that correct?
So I do know, let me just, I see a witness interpreter request of $1,000. Were you looking?
I see witness witness interpreter $4,000, and I saw interpreter zero.
The interpreter was Grace Barton.
That's the one we moved.
And
that was formerly split?
Yes, yeah. And she resigned.
Okay.
So now they're having to go a different route.
Okay. We've got another person in.
Okay.
So the 4,000
is just not out of that line.
So the 4,000 is correct in the.
I
is
think
that where you put it?
0048.
So 0048 is that is under, oh, I see, that is under interpreter personal services interpreter, and
I just want to make sure it was in the right line.
It's our intention to share the expense, I thought, with respect to to our part-time interpreter, Judge.
We filled Grace's position. We have another person that has taken that spot, which what I call full-time part-time. She is here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings. That is all coming from the budget item that is in my 01.
Okay.
So
occasionally she'll be on vacation, or we have, and Judge Hunter uses it quite a bit, what's called Lifeline, which is an account that we have access to for times either she's not available or languages that are not Spanish.
Right.
Okay.
And it has a service, and I think that's his 0048 probably, or maybe.
No, it isn't. Work off of that comment. The interpreter of a line of 48, 4,000, I thought was to compensate for the part-time Iris Madeira, is that her name?
Iris, yeah.
Yeah, Iris Madeira. So, Judge Mueller, if that's fully being funded out of your budget, then that could be returned to zero in my budget because I have a different line. Line 48 for witness interpreter on, oh, I'm sorry, it's also a line 48, but it's not under personal services. It's a $1,000 request.
Oh, yeah.
And that is,
I see it.
That is based on the need for what Judge Mueller, you called it Lifeline. It's actually language line.
Right.
And it pays for the different types of languages other than Spanish, you know.
So we can eliminate the 4,000 one?
I believe you can. And if I feel that's incorrect after I go up and look at some things on Judge Mueller's budget, I will come back and let you know. But
absolutely.
I believe that under personal services, the 4,000 could be eliminated.
Okay.
And that would put me at a lower budget than I requested last year.
Yeah.
Hey.
I like it.
All right, look it out.
I like it.
Much progress we've made so far.
Judge Hunter.
Yes.
01, 19, and 20. Should those two accounts be flipped?
I was just getting ready to ask that, too. Yes. Is it the same thing we had on Judge Mueller's?
And forgive me, I know you're looking at something that I may not be looking at. What are the
it's
categories?
It's the criminal or extra help and criminal transcripts.
Okay.
Look like they're
flopped. On the form that Janet gave you is what we're looking at.
They seem to have flopped.
01, 19, and 01, 20.
20.
So extra, yeah, that first of all, there should be a request in there for both extra help and transcripts. And so let me just see on my budget request, if you'll just give me a second to find where that is.
Okay, what the deal is that on the Form 1, the numbers don't match up with the descriptions that you've got. So I put it under the number, and it's not. Like in the system, the number is named something different.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Well, I want to make sure that.
For extra help, do you want 12,000?
So
that's typically what you
budgeted.
We don't
know the
I want 12,000, and that program includes funding for an attorney to visit and conduct a clinic that we're doing once a month that helps people reinstate their driving privileges, and then also an eviction tenant, landlord-tenant program once every 2 weeks. And that is an important program for us to keep in play. That's
so
really,
we want 12,000 in the extra help.
Yes.
Then the question is, what do you want in the transcripts?
Yeah.
It had been zero last year and the last 3 years, so maybe it needs to stay zero.
I believe it's been zero. I'm so sorry that I'm seeing
it
that.
Was zero in 23, 24, and 25.
I'm not much help here until I find it on my page. 4,500 was my request for criminal transcripts.
That's an 03. There's an 03 for 4,500 criminal transcripts.
Okay.
Yes.
So it looks like we had it in two spots.
As long as it is reflected in there, that's necessary when we have appeals and the defendant is indigent, then we have a duty to prepare transcripts for an indigent individual, and that's why that's necessary, that line.
So we'll leave it, we'll make it zero at the 0020, leave it 4,500 at the 0020 at the bottom.
Yeah, we're moving the 12,000 up a line.
From 01 to 03. Okay, got it.
Right.
All right, so you're still under, Judge Hunter.
All right.
Because if that 12 was going to get added, you was going to be over then. So.
Well, the 12, I want to be in for extra help, whether it's in the line that I've designated extra
we've got
help
it.
Or otherwise.
We got it now.
It's a critical program to keep in place.
If we don't have a few things out of order, it's just not a human being.
It's no fun.
We'll try to track those numbers next year when we put our budgets together.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for the courts?
This is your last budget with us.
Well, no. I'll be here. But hopefully there'll be someone joining me though during that. So I don't intend to retire until the end of my term, which will be the end of next year. So you'll see me again. Hopefully not sooner though.
We've been fortunate to have you.
Yeah. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
And you're welcome to stay if you okay. I don't take any offense, Tony. But all right, that moves us on to the prosecutor's budget, tab 17, as we continue our tour of the court system.
I am Anthony Sommer, prosecuting attorney, here to talk with you about my 2026 budget proposal.
All right. We have a couple of budgets under your tab, but we'll begin with the regular prosecuting attorney budget in the general fund. And you're a veteran of this. First go around here, just point out changes to the budget, things you want the council to pay particular attention to. I know you have some salary issues you want to discuss, so I'll turn it over to you.
There are salary issues in my budget. I'm still trying to address paralegal, office manager salaries, and also deputy prosecutor salaries. And part of this derives from action that was taken by the classification committee. There was a reclassification that was performed in May of this year. They approved my request to add educational requirement to the paralegal and office manager job descriptions. That came back with a Commote C designation now, and the notification with regard to that action said that the hourly rates would be addressed in the 2026 budget, but there wasn't otherwise any particular guidance that followed as to what that hourly rate adjustment might look like. July, I disseminated to the council and the commissioners at the time new salary survey that was produced by the Indiana Prosecuting Attorney Council with regard to non-attorney staff, and it had with it salary survey results that included the paralegal and office manager positions, as well as child support and other positions. With regard to that information, it was kind of voluminous, tried to direct everyone to the particular page on the salaries for the positions that I have. That was, I think, like page 23 in the document, because otherwise it was like a 90-page document. And so I didn't want you all printing that off and using all your paper up. At any rate, what I have proposed in my budget was to move the paralegal positions in my office to the bottom of the external salary range on the IPAC salary survey.
Yes, I noticed that.
And so that would still be sizable increases for a couple of the positions. And I don't know if the county will be in a position this year to do that, but I felt like it was incumbent upon me with the change in the classification and the salary survey from IPAC to at least present that as a proposal.
Yes, I appreciated that you were asking for the low point of that.
Yeah, I didn't try for the midpoint. I felt like that was a bridge too far.
Yeah.
I did go with the bottom, but that still...
It still increases a couple of them pretty big.
For two of those positions, it's a 24% increase.
That's right.
If that were adopted.
Yeah, it's a lot.
For one of the paralegal positions, it would only be a 15% increase. So we have some differences in that particular classification within my office that still need to be reconciled and evened out. The person that would only be a 15% increase does have a couple more years than the other employees and does have a bit deeper experience in outside law office. So I can't say it's entirely unjustified. But that higher pay range came from the fact that that was still back when department heads were setting salary, and that's the salary that I was able to give that employee at hire, and I did so in part because of the outside law office experience at the time. And so just to explain those differences, the office manager adjustment, once again going to the low point on the IPAC salary survey, would still be a 10% increase if adopted by the council. Now, within my office, there have been changes because I had a vacancy at office manager, and that was part of what prompted me to distribute. At the same time that I was losing my office manager, I received that salary survey from IPAC. And so I combined those two issues in the communication that I sent to the council. My office manager was able, who'd been with me 19 years, was able to take a position as a deputy clerk in Boone County at higher pay than what she was making here. Now, she said pay was not an issue in terms of life changes for her is what led to her changing positions. But as I pointed out in my communication to you, pay wasn't an impediment either to her changing positions. And so I wanted to share that with you, but also to tell you that I was able to fill the office manager position from a paralegal internally. And since that a change in July, I have not refilled the vacant paralegal position for the same rationale that the commissioners and the council have established. Let's hold off on anything until we get through budget season. Mm-hmm. So I have payroll dollars that are accumulating, and I have a vacancy, which would be 14, paralegal 14. That presently is not filled, and the current staff is able to handle the workload, so it could go unfilled. And so those payroll dollars could be redistributed to help support the pay increases that I'm proposing in my budget. And it would cover not all of it, but a good deal of it. I think that it would be otherwise on the total payroll dollars, with the deputy prosecutor pay increases included, about a 4% increase overall.
Okay.
Thank you.
If those dollars were redistributed. And so I guess that more than willing to do that because the present staff is handling the workload, and so we can get there. The proposed increase on the deputy prosecuting attorney was merely a matter of surveying counties of a similar size to ours and adjacent counties. And that's where I've encountered the most problems. The current pay for my deputy prosecutors was set at $83,514 salary per year for full-time deputy prosecutors out of the salary survey process that took place. However, what I'm seeing right now, because there is a shortage of attorneys in the state of Indiana, I don't know if you've been exposed to that fact or not, We certainly see it locally, not only in defense bar, but also in trying to hire deputy prosecutors. I am currently fully staffed, but I'd like to retain the staff that I have. I have very experienced attorneys filling my chief deputy spot and two of my full-time deputy prosecutor spots, and then I have one brand new attorney that I just hired this year. And so for that particular attorney that I hired this year, very pleased, working out very well at this point. But the pay that that candidate had to take was $7,000 less per year than what the candidate could have achieved elsewhere. And so I hate to ask people to not make what they could make on the market, okay? And so, and I'm not talking about the market hitting the bricks and opening their own practice. I'm talking about going to work for another county as a deputy prosecutor.
Right.
And so that's the basis of my proposal for trying to move my deputy prosecutors to $90,000 a year. That is a 7% increase from where they are right now. And so that is the basis for the non-standard proposals that are included in my prosecutor budget. My investigator is already appropriately paid. And so my investigator, the proposed budget increase was an attempt to just keep up with cost of living, essentially, which was a 2.5% increase, which is 2.5% is what I used otherwise across the board in all my other departments for personnel services. Was a 2.5% increase. Other than the increases in the personal services items in my budget, there was no changes of significance. I would entertain any questions that you have.
I have one. When we discussed earlier in the year the issue of the, adjusting the deputy prosecutor pay, we were talking in conjunction with that proposed legislation at the time. Yes. that did not pass.
It did not.
But would have resulted in some compensation back to the county from the state. Do you have any communications with the Prosecuting Attorney Association? Is that going to be attempted again? Or
yes, they will continue to approach the legislature with the idea of trying to contribute state dollars to help defray the cost at the county level for deputy prosecutors. They made it deep into the process, but the financial circumstances at the state level was the wall they ran into in this session. I don't see any particular changes in the state's fiscal status in the next year. Mm-hmm. They've made a number of changes, as you heard from Baker Tilly yesterday, and I think they're still sorting out where they're going to wind up. The state does seem to be holding the line. Governor Braun has asked for cuts in this present budget season kind of across the board. Now, you know, it'll be another, not this next session, but the session following that we get into an actual budget session again. And maybe the picture will change by then.
I did see on the survey that you provided us in May that many, many counties have vacancies in the deputy prosecutor.
They do. And so we are in good shape here in this county to be fully staffed as I presently am. And I appreciate the support the council has given me over the years to financially support the prosecutor's office here in this county.
I want to make two points related to this issue. One is that the prosecutor is to be commended. He's done everything we've asked him to do in this process. He's followed the new committee process. He was patient with us last year as we tried to implement with the salary survey, and he had some different numbers to look at. So I just, he's gone through it the right way. He's approached the committee. He's gotten the adjustments made to the job descriptions. And now I do feel like it's time for us to adjust accordingly on the salaries to match that. Second, just thinking back at my time over on the council and even in the time of this council, we have multiple times made adjustments to the pauper attorney line. It's just up and up and up and up. Well, that's the attorneys on the other side of the table. And we got to remember the attorneys on our side of the table. And so,
I agree that Tony has done everything he's supposed to do, taken all the steps he's supposed to take. And I appreciate that you're asking for the low point of that survey you provided us. The bottom line is, can we afford it? You know, It's just...
And I perfectly understand that. The council always has to stay within its means.
What we want to do might not be possible.
If I understood you correctly, that we could take that OO14 line item to zero...
Correct. Redistribute those dollars.
Then the overall increase to the budget, if everything else were as...
As I requested.
As requested, would be a $14,000 increase on a $600,000 budget, so...
A 4% increase overall to do that. And I don't know that the council's in a position to do that, but as much of that as the council's in a position to do is what I'm requesting.
Thank you.